Closer walk with thee, somebody said. Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Amen. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Yes, he is at all times. Amen. Without any further delay, let us get into the word. We thank God for everyone who is here in the sanctuary, and we thank him for those who will connect with us remotely via the internet later on when they tune in after the message is posted. And so today we're going to talk a little bit from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verses 1 to 7. And also continuing from our study on setting your focus on Christ from 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verses 9 through we're going to take a few more verses in Peter 9 through 16. Amen. So we'll ask you to give your attention to those texts. If you don't have a copy of our lesson, it may be available. If you raise your hand, the ushers will supply you with a copy of that. So let us go ahead with the reading. We're going to ask the deacons to read the Old and New Covenant. Of course, keep in mind, what's printed on your worksheet here today is from the New Testament, is the New American Standard Translation. Amen. I did that just for clarity of a few things that Peter has discussed. And we have the King James for the Old Testament text from Deuteronomy. Let us hear the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Amen.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Mm-hmm. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach thee diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when they sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And may we hear now the New Testament scripture from 2 Peter 2, 9 to 16.
Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, mm-hmm. and to keep the righteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesty, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reveling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of an instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Mm. Suffering wrong at the wages of doing wrong, they counted it pleasure to revel in the daytime. There are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deception as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received the rebuke a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet.
Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy and inerrant word. And I want to speak to you briefly this morning on the topic of learning the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Learning the fear of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise and bless you today. Father, we thank you that you are God all by yourself. Mm-hmm. We thank you that you are holy. Lord, you have said in your word that you are holy and that we are to be holy because you are holy. And so, Father, we pray that you forgive us and that we have not even approached the threshold of holiness to the point that you are. But Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to call upon your name. And you said that we shall be holy even as you are holy. And so, Father, we pray you sanctify us even more, Lord, in our day-to-day life, that you sanctify us even more. Teach us to set apart our time, God, for things of the Word and things of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, and sometimes the world seems to come in and we get tangled up in it, Lord. And so we ask you, God, help us separate and slip away, God, that we can be with you, God, and concentrate more on your Word and acquire that holiness that you give us when we understand holy and divine precepts.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us today, God, in this sanctuary that we might hear some things that we have not heard. Oh, Lord, in a new way that we might go out refreshed, realizing that you have blessed us to be here today. Give us ears to hear and a heart to understand, Lord, what the Spirit saith to the churches. Yes. You said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We pray that you open our ears, Lord, that we might hear those things that the Spirit is saying in these last times, God, that we might prepare ourselves for what you have next on your agenda.
Yes.
And we ask it in Jesus' righteous name.
Jesus.
Help us to set aside the agendas that we have, Lord, and concentrate on those things that you are doing in the world, that we might be well prepared, that we might go in when you come to collect your church. We bless you today. We give you praise. We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God. This whole topic of the fear of the Lord, the Bible has a lot to say about it. And I think it's one of the most misunderstood things in our time. But the world goes through cycles of it. And some people think when you initially hear it, that it just means you should be scared of God. And God doesn't want you to be scared of him or have fear in that sense.
Right.
But God is holy.
Yes, he is.
And he is so unlike us that we should just tremble just
Amen.
To think about
Amen.
The way he is.
Amen.
And that I tremble when I think about how I am and I think about how he is.
Amen.
I can relate to Isaiah who said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. He began to confess his sin when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that's basically a reverential awe of who God is. It's not that you're scared of him because, you know, he could deal with you and wipe you out in a second if he wanted to. But he doesn't want to. So what scares me is that he sees everything I do.
Amen.
And he loves me anyway.
Amen.
That's a fearful thing to think about. You know, it's fearful to think about the fact that God is that awesome, that holy, that he will put up with somebody like me. You know, and I just erased me right off his sight. What am I dealing with you for? You know, because he is so high and lifted up, as Isaiah said. And so one of the biggest reasons we're seeing a decline in wholesome moral values in our culture can be directly traced to the abandonment of the Bible. Did you realize that? Sometimes we don't realize that. Because especially some of the people in this room are way under 50 years old. And the Bible has been eradicated unless you happen to be blessed to be born into a house where your mom and dad are in the Word. And if you are, you ought to say, thank you, God, my mom and my dad are in the Word. You know, but if you happen not to be and you were just in the world and your parents were not in the Word, you have missed out on a whole lot of what God said.
Amen.
It used to be said everywhere. It was said at the schools. It was said on TV.
Amen.
It was said in the culture.
Amen.
It was said everywhere, all around the country. Everywhere you go, you hear about God. You know, now, 50 years ago, they divorced themselves from God.
Amen.
or so to speak, by throwing the Bible out of human, the American culture.
Amen.
You see, and so we started to see a decay taking place in the culture, those of us who are old enough to see it. And some of you who are not, just bear with me. I wouldn't lie to you. I would not stand at the sacred desk and tell you something that I don't believe to be so. I'm exactly the age that I could see the whole thing, how it went down over 50 years.
Amen.
I have a birthday coming up on next week, and I'll be 59. So from the age of 9, which was when my grandparents died, up until this time have been 50 years. And it was right around that time that the discussions were being had about get the Bible and prayer out of the schools. And so things used to be back then. You didn't hear about people packing pistols and riding around gunning folks down in the streets. You know, very rarely did you ever hear about anything like that back in those days. It had to be somebody like Bonnie and Clyde, or somebody that was like way out of sync with the rest of the culture. But now Bonnie and Clyde lives right next door to you. You know, you got Bonnie on one side, Clyde on the other, and Elliot Ness somewhere down in there in between. And folk ride around packing pistols. And we're going to deal with stuff not by discussing it or anything like that. We might have had a fight or two, a roll in the dust with somebody, you know. But nobody was packing weapons and things like they are now.
Amen.
You know, because human life has been devalued over that 50 years.
Amen.
People don't think a human life is worth anything.
Amen.
I was appalled when I heard about somebody being a scandalized over shooting a lion. I'm not into shooting lions, so don't anybody, when you hear this online, don't go say, oh, he's advocating shooting lions. No, I'm not. I'll shoot one if he come up in here, though, let me tell you. If he's trying to get on me, you know, he got to go. If it's between him and me, he got to go, I'm telling you now. You know, and they acted like, oh, they shot the lion, and it was a terrible thing, and we're going to stop using your dentist's office. And they scandalized a man up one side and down the other. And I thought, okay, I wonder, did you all eat any bacon this morning?
Ooh.
Y'all have sausage and hamburgers, or, you know, how did you eat today?
Ooh.
All y'all vegetarians or what? You know, I'm trying to figure it out. And then, meanwhile, we had a court case going on where somebody was known to gun down 9 people in cold blood. They pleaded not guilty. And nobody's outraged about that. So you can see the values of the world are just twisted. They're nowhere near. The bald eagle has more credibility than a newborn baby, an unborn child. You see, things of that sort. All that happened in that 50 years when we lowered the standards. We took God's counsel out of the public square.
That's what happened.
It was taken out. And people cried out about it, but nothing was ever done to put it back.
Amen.
You know, and so it's a sad thing. And we saw all the moral values start to slowly drop. When I was a kid, you would never see a billboard with people stripped down to their underclothes.
Amen.
You would never see that.
Right.
You might see it anywhere now.
Yes.
And something even worse. You might see something worse than that. Just riding down the street like, oh my goodness, you know. You look and see something that used to be called soft pornography, and it's up on a billboard. Now it's like, wow, but they got this up on the billboard. You know, and you wonder, what is that doing to young adolescent minds that are struggling with sexuality and how to be pure and holy? They're probably not struggling with it now. You see, it's just full blown. They're growing up too quick. Young people are growing up too quick. They're exposed to sexuality. Their innocence has been stripped from them because of the removal of the truth. And so, and I've seen it throughout all of my lifetime. I've watched how slowly the standard drop, and now anything goes. You can parade right down the middle of a public street half stripped. And it's not considered indecent anymore. So what happened there? The thing that happened was throwing out the Bible. And this time that we live in is proof positive that the restraining influence of God's word that it has had on human culture and behavior has been largely denigrated. It's been set aside. You know, it used to be just because you knew what God said, certain things you wouldn't do.
That's right. Amen.
If you did, you go in the closet or you go somewhere in the dark alley and do it. You wouldn't do it out on the public street.
Amen.
You know, and at least there was a sense of shame about some of the stuff people did.
Amen.
People are not going to just do anything. You know, used to be you would hide somewhere and do that if you had to do it. Now it's, we're proud that we're doing it.
Amen.
And so that all happened in that 50-year period. And now we live in an anything goes culture. You might see anything, and somebody like me would be thought spoken evil of because you said what you said. What you said is not politically correct, preacher. It's not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. And in that Bible you threw out 50 years ago, there are people who still love it. There's people who still know it's right. There are people here who will stand up for it no matter what happens.
Amen.
You know, and I'm in that group.
Yes.
And it's not really against you, it's for you. It's a blessing to you, whether you think it is or not. You think it's handcuffs, but really it's taking the handcuffs off of you, letting you be free to be the kind of a man or woman God made you to be. And so there is no bondage in it. It's really the truth that will make you free. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So all of that is connected to continuing in his word, keeping your mind in his word. This is nothing new for God's people. Look at Deuteronomy 6 on the text that's set before you here. It says here, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you. See that? Moses said, this is what he commanded me to teach you, that you might do them. Not just know them, but do them. In the land whither ye go to possess it. You're going into a land. God says, I'm going to promise you a land. We call it the promised land. And when you get in there, you do this. This is what you do. Now, God had a reason why he wanted these things done. And so we'll see what that is. He says that thou mightest fear the Lord. See that? Thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days might be prolonged.
Yeah.
God says, I want my people to have a long life.
Yeah.
And I realize there's opposition in the world.
Yes.
There are people in the world who don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the people who know me. You're the covenant people. I've called you out.
Amen.
I bless you so you can know that I'm not against you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you and I'm blessing everything you do.
Yeah.
And so this is what I want you to do. Just be obedient to me.
Mm-hmm.
And teach it to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to teach it to their children. And tell them to teach it to their children.
Amen.
And tell them to teach it to their
Amen.
Children. And let this pass down through the family. How will they know you believe it? Because he says that you're going to keep this all your days. And I'm going to prolong your days. He says here in verse 3, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. And that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God, the God of thy fathers, hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, I always love that. What do you think about when you hear a land flowing with milk and honey? What do you think? I thought about it many days. Why would God tell them, I'm giving you a land flowing with milk and honey? And I don't know exactly, but the one thing I did think after I continued to meditate is that you can get all the milk you ever need without killing the cow.
Amen.
The cow will produce milk as long as he's standing. There's no death involved. Honey comes from bees. They make it and they go around and collect stuff, and you don't have to kill anything. It's just sweet and it's good.
Yes.
And it doesn't even decay. Did you know that honey doesn't decay, they tell me.
Never.
You know, and it's kind of a symbol of flowing in life with milk, all everything you need, no death associated with it.
Yes.
You know, milk and honey, everything is good. We would say today it's all good.
It's all good.
That's a good thing. Land flowing with milk and honey. Not talking about killing or nothing, dying and any of that kind of thing. It's just going to be everything you need. It's on a continual, perpetual basis.
Yes.
It's coming from God. Milk and honey. Everything all good.
Marvel.
We would say. Okay, that's just one thing I thought. That's just one of my meditations. I don't know exactly. There's probably more to it than I think. But the fact is, these things don't require death or the shedding of blood. This is natural stuff in the world that God put in there to bless you if you trust me. Think about that, all the good stuff that's around it there to bless you. And so notice what he says here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In other words, pour your life into loving God.
Amen.
You know, how do you do that? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you. And I'm going to bless you and give you long life, many generations. You know, it would be a blessing if you could see your son and your son's sons and
yes.
two or three generations down the road. That's a blessing right there, isn't it?
Amen.
In and of itself. So you want to pass this knowledge on down to the next generation. It was to be through the word of mouth. And now notice this. He says, love me intensely. You know, that's why we sing that song, show me your ways that I may walk with you, that I may talk with you. The joy of my heart is to love you more. And live with the touch of your hand.
Yeah.
Stronger each day. I want to have a stronger relationship yeah. with you every day. I don't want God in the back burner or on Sunday morning I go dust the Bible and now I'm going to come to church. You know, no, I want God in my house every day.
Amen.
Want him in my car every time I get in. I want him at my job when I go to work.
Amen.
Want him in the grocery store when I go in there. I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord all the time. See? I want you in my life every day. And if I could have you in every spot, there wouldn't even be any sin in my life. I could wash out the times when my mind goes somewhere where it shouldn't be. Because I can't have God there while I'm thinking some kind of a heinous thought.
All right.
See what I'm saying? So I want God. I want to know you every day. I don't want to have times when I want to go away from you and, you know, because something in my mind is not right. And so basically that's what God wants. He wants that intimacy with us.
Yes, he does.
And we used to have it as a culture. There was an overall blanketing thing in the culture that everybody here knows the truth of God. Stores would not open on Sunday in honor of the Sabbath day, you see. And you had to go out of the state to somewhere else where it was less prevalent to find alcohol, things like that. Because the people upheld holiness and righteousness was the general way of life. And now, who cares? You know, we're going to have Black Thursday and Black Wednesday. We're going to get you out way early. Forget about Thanksgiving to God and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, we ain't thinking about that. We're trying to get black on our bottom line here. You know, we're tired of being in the red, so we want to jack that up now. Stuff like that. And stuff open on Sunday. You can get anything on Sunday. You know, and things like pornography are flourishing in the world. Billions of dollars in the industry of pornography. Yes. And it's contaminating to the point that little children have access to it around the clock. And they made it global where you can get stuff from anywhere over the world, over the internet. It's an awful thing. And all of this didn't exist 50 years ago. No way. No possible way. Not even. And it took a while before. It's kind of like when somebody gets a sickness, the longer you have it, the worse it gets. And that's kind of what it was like. It was like the community came infected. And now it's like running over. It's rampant now in the culture. The culture's sick and doesn't even know it. It's so sick, I don't even know I'm sick.
Wow.
I'm so sick, I just think it's fine, and you better not tell me that I'm sick. Because I'm proud of my sickness.
Amen.
You know, I'm walking around with my sickness on my sleeve. You see what I mean? And don't you tell me there's anything wrong with it. We're arrogant and hard-headed. But God said, don't do that. Not my people. But my people tend to get hung up in it. You know, so if you're living in it, it's easier for you now to justify something you would never have done that not long ago. You would never have thought of it. It's easier for us, the people of God, to get tangled up in the sinful world because the world doesn't care. They threw out God long ago. Forget him. Get him out of here. No prayer. None of that. We don't want no prayer in the public places. It used to be every ball game, every time something opened up anywhere, there was a word of prayer.
Yes, it was.
The Congress prayed before they start signing bills and all that things they do in the White House. Now, none of that. You know, you can't pray. You can't. You can only have student-led prayer sometimes in some schools, and many times they don't want you to pray at all. You see what I mean? And so a lot of stuff is way different than it was back at that time. So human culture has really degenerated to a very low point, and it's very hard for people who are trying to do right, and that doesn't excuse us, let me add.
All right.
You're not excused to do it just because somebody else does, but it makes it easier for you to do it because it's all around you. You have to go out of your way to get away from it.
Yes, you do.
You're going to have to pray to be prayed up, not for it to affect you.
Amen.
You're going to have to get your mind in the Word even more than you used to just to stay on a good straight line like you should be. And so basically that's what God wanted the people to do. He said, when you go in this land, it's going to be filled with people who have heard nothing from me. We would say that they're heathen. You know, folk who have no education about God. They have no convictions about what's true and what's false. They do anything. You go in there, you might see something that I told you don't do that. And it looks like they're enjoying it. They're having fun doing that, whatever it is. You know, but when you go, you think about me. Put your mind on my word.
Yeah.
Pray. Stay together. That's why there were so many laws in the Old Testament. It was just to keep them from blending in with the people who don't know God.
Yes, amen.
You shouldn't blend in with folks who don't know or care about God. You shouldn't blend in. Doesn't mean they're your enemy.
Right.
You know, you want them to get right and come out, but you don't want to go in and you get stained and you end up like them.
Right.
See? You want to be clean. You want your life to be clean.
Yeah.
And you understand, you have to understand people aren't like that necessarily because they want to be.
Right.
Because everybody that's in bondage knows they're in bondage.
Yes.
You know it in the heart of hearts. You know, this thing has got me and I'm stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can say it because I remember being addicted to something myself.
Mm-hmm.
before I got saved. I was addicted to drugs. And I had really didn't want it. And I didn't think it could get me. And I figured I could fool around with it because everybody was doing it at that time.
Yep.
You know, and if these folks are weak, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're thinking. You fool yourself into thinking you can handle it. And then you find out you can't handle it.
Amen.
But it's too late now. Somebody said that the chains of sin are too soft to be felt until they are too strong to be broken.
Wow.
See, they feel like they're soft now and I can get away. So I can sample around and play around with this thing. See, but you can't. Because you don't realize you can't until now you can't. And you're stuck and you're in bondage. But God didn't want you to be in bondage. And if you are, he wants to bring you out. So whatever it is you're dealing with, he wants you to come out of it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Right.
You know, that's what he says in Corinthians. So some of us need deliverance. Just because we're in the church, just because we're saved, doesn't mean that we don't have stuff that needs to go out of our lives.
Yeah.
So we have to pray on these things, you know, and not judge one another because it could easily be us.
Amen.
On the outside looking in.
Yeah.
It could easily be one of us.
Yeah.
But God wants us to be free. And so he told them, he was giving them commandments. He says, when you go in the land, verse number 5, thou shalt love the Lord your God. We read that verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down, sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That sounds like all the time, doesn't it? When I lie down, that's when I'm going to bed. I'm going to be telling you about God when I go to bed.
Right.
When I get up, I'm going to be praising God.
Right.
When we sit down to eat, I'm going to be talking about God. When we go out the door, I'm going to tell you all about God. When I'm coming back in, I'm telling you about God. When is that? That's all the time. Constantly saturate your mind in the truth.
Yes.
That's one of the problems we have. There's so much media in the world. Like, I can have a choice. I got 50 different things I can enjoy and listen to and watch and all that. I can go back and revisit all the old Andy Griffith if I want to, or whatever. I can find myself soaking myself in stuff just because it's available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead of taking that time and saturating myself in God's word.
Amen.
So it's a big difference. When we were saturated, the culture was better off. Even folks who didn't believe had more restraining influence on their life just because of the way the rest of the culture was.
That's right. Amen.
But now when you have a permissive culture that'll do anything, it makes it very hard. And then the person who's saying, hey, this stuff happened like this and God doesn't want you to do that, you look like a sad man at a party.
Yep.
You know, because here you come talking about something we're doing is not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of whether it's not right. And you might think it's fine for a while, but it's not fine when it ends up taking you to the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it ends up having somebody shoot you over it.
Yes.
Or anything like that. You know, it's not fine then. You know, it might seem like I'm having a good time right now. You know, let the good times roll. And then they do roll all the way till you run into a brick wall. You know, then the rolling stops. You know, and so we want to be mindful of that. But we have sympathy for everyone. I do in a special way because I know people are kind of whack because they don't really get good moral counsel anymore.
Yes.
You know, but I have noticed God will make you kind of a light in the midst of a situation like that. Many times people come up to you when they're having trouble because they've seen you when you're having trouble and you look like you handle the trouble pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, well, Dr. Adams, you know, let me tell you about this situation. They want to share it with you to bounce something off of you because I can see that it looks like you're pretty stable and I think I can get some good advice from you. Why is that? Because you've been in the Word.
Yes.
You've been in the truth. And when stuff went wrong with you, you didn't fall apart and come undone at work. You were able to handle it a little better.
Yeah.
So somebody else will see that and go, boy, you know, that happened to me and I was ballistic. I couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what God means when he says, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Then all he wants you to do is give the glory back to him.
Yeah.
The only reason I can stand up under this situation is that my Father, who gave his son Jesus, blessed me. And I know it's going to be all right, no matter what it looks like. You know, and you can testify right at that moment and let them know that you have a relationship with the living God. And so that light that's in your life, God put that there so that people will know that he is working on you.
That's
all he wanted when he sent the children of Israel into the promised land. The people who were there, they were whacked. They didn't know what was going on. They were supposed to see these new people coming in and go, these are some unusual people. You know, they look like they're pretty well off. And what are you all doing? The reason why you're so happy? Why y'all always singing psalms and praising God?
Yeah.
What's up with that? You know, they want to know because they're not so happy sometimes. You know, the devil is a cruel taskmaster.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You know, he wants to use you to do awful things and make you feel ashamed and disgraceful about yourself. But God loves you and he wants to give you freedom to celebrate and be able to rejoice in the good things that he created in the world.
Amen.
And so this is what we're seeing, and I think it's something you and I have to make note of. And the difference in this is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
If you fear God, that doesn't mean I'm scared of God. And there's a sense in which you are. There's two sides to the fear of the Lord. That's the side where you respect what he said, first of all, and you honor him because he is God. You acknowledge he has a right to tell me whatever he wants.
Amen.
He has a right to do anything he wants.
Yes.
You know, he's always right. He is never wrong.
Never.
And so in that sense, I fear him because he is telling me what's best for my life. Mm-hmm. On the other side, he has a right to judge me.
Yes.
If I step out of the way, he could whack me every time.
Right.
The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
Yes.
And he scourges every son whom he receives.
Yes.
Now, he may not chasten you. He's not trying to hurt you if he does chasten you. But like if you're going down the road and you go off the road, you snatch that car back right quick to get back on the road because I don't want to be in the ditch.
Right.
You see? And so that's kind of the other side of the fear of the Lord, is realizing that God could judge me and he has chosen not to. He chose to judge his son instead of me.
Milo.
And he gave me this table so I can come here and remember what he did for me. The fact that he gave his son to be crucified for me. And I can confess my sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I have a way to come in and maintain that relationship with God. And that's why I love the Lord's table, because you come there, you can come there, you can unload and leave the church with a clean mind. Oh, God has forgiven me of everything. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to go face that thing that I couldn't handle before with a new, fresh forgiveness from God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to seek and I make it now.
Oh, yes.
Until next time, so I can come back and praise him for freeing me from something that I was struggling with in between time.
Yeah.
See, and that's the way you live your life. You stay in it. You remember what God says. You realize he could judge me.
Yes.
He decided to judge his son instead of me.
Thank
you. He's merciful and kind toward me. So the intentions of God are set for the very best outcome of the souls of his creation. That's the reason why he gave his word.
Yes.
But due to the abuse of mankind, mankind abuses everything God gives to man. They want to misuse it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, instead of being generous, if I get blessed and I end up with a lot of stuff stacked up, instead of me saying, let me bless somebody else, I just stack it up higher and higher. I'm not thinking about nobody else. I got mine, you get yours.
Yep.
You get greedy. I'm going to build some bigger barns and tear down my old barn. One guy said,
yes,
see, we don't get where when God bless me, I'm going to bless somebody else.
That's right.
I'm going to help you get in business and get started like I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and because God blessed me and I'm going to watch him bless you.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to teach you to bless somebody else so they can get started. We don't think that way unless we are in the word and we love God.
Yeah.
So God's intentions were basically for us to be like that. And it's the absence of the fear of the Lord that causes man to do what he does. They don't have any fear of God in their eyes. They think if God lets all this go on, I must be, if there's no problem, I'll keep doing it. Sometimes it emboldens people to do worse, you know, because they don't fear and respect God. And what that means is respect his word. Know what his word says. Know what his word means. Realize that it means that for you and everybody, not just for one, but for all.
Amen.
And so people go from bad to worse because they have no fear of God. That's what Romans says in chapter 3. And so they're indulged in excess rather than coming to know the magnitude of the manifold grace of God. Now, biblical history, I want to add, which is the most accurate history in existence. I don't care that they took the Bible out. Now they want to tell you all rewrite history so you can think that the country was a different way than it was.
Yeah.
You know, the scriptures tell you what's true.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and they are the best and most accurate source of history on the planet.
Yes.
And now you have people trying to rewrite history. Now the Bible's out. Let's write some phony history to tell people how the country came about and how we got where we are. And, you know, take away the credit from God and try to give it to people. You know, that's what's happening right now. But the best history in the world is the Bible and is the proof that God is worthy to be honored and obeyed.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Such behavior should therefore be displayed by the ones who believe God and set an example for the ones who don't believe God.
Amen.
That's the whole idea. You and I are supposed to live our lives and let in God's blessing, knowing that his word is right, and set an example for people who deny God's word. Even though they haven't been hearing the word. A lot of them haven't heard the word, and that's their problem. So they want to twist the word to suit what they're doing rather than the truth that it already says. And so basically we want to see that the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
It's also the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
And it is a thing that must be learned. You and I have to learn how to respect God.
Amen.
You won't know it naturally.
Right.
If no one teaches you the fear of the Lord, you will not learn it.
Amen.
Because you need to know the word of God to understand what God requires of you.
Right.
And if I'm sailing along and there is no word in my life, I'm not heading toward God. I'm doing my thing.
Right.
See? So it's important that we learn the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
To trust God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's a thing that must be learned. And it is the result of knowing God's word after coming to know his son.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Who is the physical proof of the death of God's, the depth of God's unfailing love and his commitment to us and the world. God is so committed to the world that he gave his son.
Amen.
And made it a historic fact. You know what? People might not have heard the Bible, but when you tell them about the calendar, make them think about it. How did that calendar get like it is? Why is Jesus in the middle of it? Why have there been 2,015 years since he was born? Think about that one. When you get through, check your Bible. Because
yes.
The God who put his son in the middle of your life, whether you like it or not, loves you and gave his son to be crucified for you. Raised him from the dead to prove to you that even death has been swallowed up in victory.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You have no reason to fear death.
None.
And so God is the one who did that. Now Peter says this and we're about done. He says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. You know what? Think about it. You and I are tempted by all the stuff that the world is doing. They're out there doing stuff. Looks like they're having fun.
Yep.
Looks like they're getting away with it.
Yep.
Looks like God isn't striking them with lightning. Or they look like they're having a good one. They're kicking it big time. You know, that's the way we look at it. You know, but the fact is, there is a dead end coming up. There's a dead end at the end of it. You know, a brick wall. Bam! You know, it's not going to be a happy situation. Because you know what? God is holy.
Yes.
And holiness is going to always continue to be holy. And when people who disregard God's word slam into the wall, the rock of ages, it's going to be a terrible collision. You see? So we need to know what God said and respect him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See? And I don't think we talk enough about that in the church. And you don't get saved by keeping any commandments.
All right.
You can only be saved by a free gift.
Amen.
From God.
Amen.
And God has given his son already to give you the gift. But he does want you to be holy. Now make no mistake, God is not giving you a gift so you can stay the way you are. He gave you a gift to clean up your life, to bring you closer to Christ's likeness. Because he loves you. And he knows that what you know what you're going to be better off if you do what God says.
Amen.
You're going to be happier if you do what he says. You're going to look back and see the recompense of the wicked, like the Bible says.
Yes.
You know, because God has just given them rope, enough rope to hang themselves. And if they don't turn around, they're going to hang themselves on their own rope.
Yes, they will.
You see what I'm saying? And so God didn't want his people to get hung up in it.
All right.
So you and I need to examine the word. Whatever the word says, that's right. It's right. That's all you got to know.
Amen.
And God doesn't change. We mentioned this in Sunday school this morning.
Yes.
He does not change. If he meant it for Abraham, he means it for me.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
If he meant it for Jacob, he means it for you.
Amen.
If he meant it for Isaac, he means it for you.
That's right.
So whatever he said to Zerubbabel or whoever you want to name from the Old Testament, somebody might seem insignificant. He means it for you.
Amen.
You know, and he doesn't change. That's a good thing.
Yes.
It says in Malachi chapter 3 that I am the Lord your God, verse 6, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's only because I didn't change that you are not consumed. God could consume me if he wanted to, but he promised he wouldn't. If I trust in Christ, he won't do it. Whatever judgment he ought to give me, he said I won't do it. Because you trust my son. Not because I did anything, you know what? And that's the balance of the fear of the Lord, is you know what he said.
Yes.
You know he has a right to judge me. He has chosen not to judge me, but to give his son for me because he loves me. And he knows that if I will receive instruction, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get right. I'm going to start heading toward doing the right thing. God wants us doing the right thing.
Yes, he does.
You know, and we will do the right thing if we keep walking with Christ and keep trusting in his word.
Amen.
And don't twist what the word of God says. That's what's going on today. A lot of times people want to twist the word so they can continue in some kind of sin.
Uh-huh.
You know, but God is not pleased with that. And just because he's not the author of confusion, he's not trying to make you think something that he has already made clear.
Right. Amen.
And the word is clear to those who trust in Christ. If
Amen.
You trust Christ, God has made the word so that you can consume it. So I want to ask today if there's anybody here who basically Peter goes on to talk about some of the people who are against the word. And we'll just conclude with these thoughts. But I want to ask, is there anybody here who would like to come to the Lord just before we dismiss? But notice he talks about some of these people, verse 11, whereas he says the angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord, but these like unreasoning animals or creatures that are, he says, of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling while they have no knowledge, while he says they will in the destruction of these creatures also be destroyed, suffering the wrong, he says, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They ignore God and keep on, in other words, doing what they're doing. They are stains and blemishes, reviling, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. They want to draw you into what they're doing.
Yes.
Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. Enticing and unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way. See that? And they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Now, Balaam was a person who was in it for the money.
Yes,
basically, he tried to sell out the people of God to their enemy.
Yeah.
And God told, he told Balak, the king, he says, you know what, God, I can't curse God's people. If God blessed them, how can I curse them? Who do you think I am? He had enough sense to understand God. That if God blessed them, there's no way I can curse them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's true of you. The devil can't curse you.
No way.
If God blessed you, the devil is done. He's over with.
Amen.
And you need to know that at the times when he makes you think, I got you under my power. No, you don't. My God is greater than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He has given me authority over all of your hogwash, all of your nonsense. You see, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Balaam even knew that. And then it says, but he received a rebuke for his own transgressions, for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. See, he had to have his donkey to get him straight. You know, God, if God speaks to you through a jackass, then you ought to know that you have gone too far.
Amen.
But he'll do whatever it takes to get you straight.
Amen.
You see, and if the Bible says if we—that's why it says stuff like if we don't praise God, the rocks will cry. God will make something that you don't even expect. Like in the days of Daniel, they thought they were going—they were sitting there partying in the cups they stole from the temple, and a hand came up and started writing on the wall. Like, wow, you know, told them you've been judged in the balance and found wanting. You don't have what you need. You think you got it, but you don't. So God has ways of communicating with people.
Amen.
You know? And that's why we get that phrase in our culture, say we can see the hand writing on the wall.
Yep.
You
know, where it came
they
from.
Just came up right out of Daniel. They sitting there partying out of God's vessels. Look what we did to the holy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God said, okay, well, you can the bad man. It's like, what? Why am I looking? Look at that drink. You know, what am I drinking? I see a hand over there on the wall. You know. So but God wants you to be saved.
Amen.
And he wants you to be content.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
You will be more happy when you are more holy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm always more happy when I am more holy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only more holy when I do what God says.
Amen.
You
know,
and when I don't do what he says, I come right here and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you deal with it, right here. The Bible says if you confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he's washing out the reason why I keep doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting cleaner and cleaner. Mm-hmm. One day, it'll be clean. Mm-hmm. He's just going to keep washing it until it's clean. Mm-hmm. And then I can move to the next thing on my list. Mm-hmm. See, it's a shame we have a list like that. Mm-hmm. You know, but we need to be mindful of it. And that's why we have to study. To show ourselves approved unto God as workmen. See, it's work involved in getting yourself clean. Mm-hmm. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut it straight, lay it in order, and do it right. Don't try to make the word bend to you. You bend to the word. Right. Don't try to get away from the word. Run to the word. Right. We need the word. He cleanses his bride by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. It says he cleanses her by the washing with water by the word. Mm-hmm. See, so that's how we get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. If we avoid the word, we're avoiding cleansing. Yes. You know, don't let the word world trip you up. Yes. It's one letter difference, world and word. Mm-hmm. See, and you want the word, you don't want the world.
All right.
See, we want the word.
Amen.
Amen. If there's anybody here who would like to come at this time and unite with the church, you can come by letter or Christian experience or candidate for baptism. We want to give you that opportunity before we dismiss. Pray for me. As I said, I was just sharing with Sister Williams that time is going by, as we know, and my birthday is coming up on next week. That's not a commercial, Mr. James, but just letting you know. I've been thinking about just getting free from regular work so I can spend my time in the church. And developing the church and things that the church needs. And I realize how critical what's going on in the world is about. It's a critical thing. And it really needs some attention. And I'm watching people popping up who don't have an answer. They have an answer, but it's not the answer. See what I'm saying? And they're getting a lot of funds from different places. And I don't necessarily care about the funds, but I want people to get the answer to the problem, not an answer. Because an answer is not going to help you.
Amen.
Because if you don't get your soul right with God, I don't care how many things you have. You can stack stuff up all the way to Timbuktu.
Yeah.
You know what? But if you go to hell, what good is it?
Amen.
If you go in the box without Jesus, what good is it?
Right.
See, the only thing that's right is that thing they threw out. And we need to get that right back in the center of the culture. And the only way that'll be is going to take people, boots on the ground, in the visible places to let people know, to confront them with the problem, the real problem. It amazes me how many people, some of these people are, and I'm going to get off my soapbox, some of these people are church leaders, and they think some kind of political thing is going to fix what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, wait a minute now, what could have had a V8? I don't get it. I don't understand. Why don't you know, if you're a leader of the church, what's wrong with people?
Amen.
I don't understand it.
Amen.
Politics and all that. I can get you jobs. We can do all that. But if you don't know Christ,
that's right.
What good is it going to do? The problem is we threw Jesus and his word out. And now we think we can bring in political programs and fix it. No, you can't. It's not going to get fixed. Not like that's a waste of money and time. Okay? People need to get back to the book. They need to know God loves you. You got to get your heart right first. When your heart is clean, everything else will fix itself. God will fix you. The Holy Ghost will get inside and he'll fix it. You know, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll get you a job. He'll get you in school. He'll get you up out of your situation. He'll get you unstuck off of this and that and the other. He'll start cleaning you up and your life will be like it should be. You'll get back to the milk and honey like it's supposed to be. You know. But you need him right. And the other stuff won't help you without him.
Amen.
Amen. So we come at this time once again, and we just want to extend the invitation. Amen. And we just give you a minute here. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. Thank you, oh God, for your word. And we know that you love us, God, because you put up with all these things that we see, God. And even us, when we get a little tripped up and a little out of the way, you stay with us anyway, Lord, because you're preserving a remnant for these last and evil days. And so, Father, bless us, forgive us, use us, help us to be more vocal, let our lips not be closed, Lord, because you said we need to confess that you are God and that you have made a way. That means we speak it out of our mouths, those things that you have said. No matter what happens, take whatever comes with the territory. Help us to be bold witnesses for Christ, oh God, in these last days. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church said together,
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Comments, Doctor? Anybody, Doctor Adams? Amen.
Just one comment. For those who don't know, actually, we have been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we forget about it.